Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, I'm David Borchert, Jim Borchert's son. So, this will be my second time to ever preach, so it's awesome. I'm excited. God is exciting, and He loves us and wants to bless us every day. I'm going to be preaching out of James, chapter 1. I want to talk today about trust, not trust. My dad teaches on like the trust, like the living trust, but I'm talking about like trust as in trust in the Lord, that trust. This last year in 2014, I had taken on the biggest job I had ever done in my life, and I prayed about it a lot. I mean, it was huge. For me to do it was insane, but I kept praying about it, and God said, I want to bless you through this job. So I said, okay, I'll do it. And I got into the job, and I was hating God. I was like, God, you lied to me. This job is not a blessing. And He said, just trust me. I said, okay, Lord, I'm just going to trust you that everything's going to turn out all right. And I learned so many things just going through the job, not the job itself, but just how to lean completely on God. When everything seemed like it was going wrong, and I would just say, God, I'm going to trust you that everything is going to turn out the way it should. And yeah, over the 4 months, even though the job was supposed to take a month, over the 4 month period that I was on the job, you know, everything worked out. You know, I made it through it, and it was a blessing in the end. What I want to talk about trust is, Job said, though he slay me, I will still trust in Him. So, I mean, he said, no matter what happens, what I learned was, no matter, you know, you pray, God, I don't need it to rain today because I need to get out and work. And it rains, and you go, okay, God, praise God, it rained. You needed me to take the day off. So that you need to trust that no matter what happens, it's God's plan and blessing for you, because you think, this is what I need, and this is what's good for me, but God knows really what is good for you. So you got to learn to trust Him in that. In James 1, let's see, it says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. And temptations, it could be, that also translates into trials. Fear is one, worry is another one, jealousy, anger, lust. These are all things that we could worry about. But, I mean, God's desire for us is to always be happy, regardless of our situations. And, you know, I mean, it's easy to get bogged down into our situation and to not trust Him because we're human. And that's just what we do. We, you know, start looking to our own selves and try to figure it out ourselves instead of turning to Him. I mean, it says, seek ye first the kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you. That means if you seek God first, He's going to show you what to do and you don't have to worry about it. So I guess what I want to teach you guys, or, you know, my thing that I want to say today is just learn to relax in God, and He will, you know, do everything regardless of how it looks. It says in verse 3, it says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And that is true. When you learn to turn to Him and to trust Him, you start to relax and you start to be patient and you start to just trust Him and not worry about what you see, because we are about, you know, what we see and what we touch and what we feel and the world around us, and what does this person think about me, and what did I say there, did I do that wrong? And when you start to just relax and trust in Him, He gives you that peace, and you just, you know, if you do wrong, you say, hey God, I messed up, can you cover that? And He goes, I got it, it's covered. And it always is. I mean, it's never not. I mean, you think it's never not. It's always covered. He takes care of it. Because, I mean, that's His job. He says, you know, I'm here. I created you because I love you and I want to bless you. So, you know, no matter what you see, I'm here to make your life heaven on earth. Verse 4 says, but let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You know, you may say, well, how can I be perfect? But that's just it, because God is doing it in you. He is making you perfect. You don't have to worry about being perfect. Let's see. Because He said that He would complete that good work that He started in us. So, and that, I love that that's probably one of my favorite scriptures. Every day when you work on, you go, I am not, when I turned 30, I thought, this is not where I wanted to be when I was 30. I thought I was going to be a millionaire and do it all. I was like, what in the world, God? This is not my plan for my life. But you know what? He said, don't worry about it. You're exactly where you need to be. I am making you who you should be. I'm going to set your path where you need to be. It says in Proverbs, it talks about we make our own, you know, we make our plans. But God, He guides our steps. So we don't even have to worry about it. So, I mean, we can plan all day long, but God just says, hey, trust in me, and I'll guide you. Every day when you wake up, just say, hey, God, what do you want me to do today? And, you know, He's going to guide you. I mean, you still have to get up every day, and you have to go to work, and, you know, you have to brush your teeth so that, you know, you can talk to people and things like that. So, but, I mean, that's normal stuff. But, you know, God's design for us is to always be blessed, regardless of our situation. Israel went through so many things. You know, they would sin and they would be, you know, taken into captivity by Persia or whatever. But every time, wherever they were at, they were always blessed. You know, they were in bondage and they weren't allowed to be in their own home, in their own country, but God always blessed them. It was funny, we went to Italy years ago and they kept all the Jews in this place called the Jewish Quarter. And they said, okay, you guys are only allowed to do three things. You're allowed to be doctors, bankers, or lawyers, and that's it. And you're like, what kind of punishment is that? So even though they were kept in quarantine, you know, God still blessed them, and they were, you know, they multiplied and they flourished. So even though they were in captivity, so in verse 5 it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be asked of him. It's funny. I had to look up that word upbraideth because I thought it meant, you know, tied together, but it doesn't. What it means is if you ask him, he's not going to say, why do you need that? He's going to say, yeah, I'd love to give that to you. So, you know, he's not going to rebuke you for it. Why do you need wisdom? You know, I've got all the wisdom. He's going to say, I'm going to give you all the wisdom you need. But let him, in verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. When he says nothing wavering, it means if you ask, you should totally expect it. You shouldn't even begin to think that he wouldn't do it. He's saying, just come to me and ask me, totally expecting to get whatever you ask for. So, for he that wavereth is like a wave on the sea, driven with the wind, tossed to and fro. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's something that I've had to learn too, is it seems to happen every, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 months, life will just get really confusing. And I'll go, what's going on, God? And he'll go, you have too many things. You need to simplify your life. You've got your mind over here, and you've got your mind over here, and things are just, you know, looking like they're starting to fall apart because you're not focused on what you need to be focused on. And I'll do that, and I'll go through, and I'll go, okay, we're just going to work on this. And it's, and with the next day, everything is back to as it should be, and it's amazing. So, I mean, that's the Word of God. The Word of God, you know, all the answers are in here. And your life can be heaven on earth, full of joy, regardless of whether we're being oppressed or, you know, the government's taking away everything, and so we lose all our freedoms. Praise God. I mean, even when the Jews lost all their freedoms, they were still blessed. So, I mean, that's something that, you know, I worried about in the past is, you know, what happens, God, if you know, we are totally enslaved and we can't do anything? There's a lot of countries that are like that. They can't, you know, like in North Korea, they have no freedom. But you know what? There's Christians over there, and they're happy, and they know God, and they're blessed, even though they're in total bondage, and you know they're lied to every day. They have some of the most ridiculous lies. Look it up if you ever want to read some funny stuff. Is what they tell the people in North Korea about their leaders. Let's see. Let the brother of low degree rejoice that he is exalted, but the rich that he is made low, because the flower of the grass, it shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with burning heat, it withereth away the grass, and the flowers thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion of it perisheth, so that the rich man fades away in all his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, or trials, for he is tried, and he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to him that love him. And I like that verse because even the word or temptation or trials, I like that because a lot of times you think, you know, the devil will start tempting you and you just want to give in. And then you remember that. If you remember that verse, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, it kind of gives you a little impetus not to do it, not to give in. Because sometimes you just go, I'm just going to give in. That way I can stop worrying about it and I'll just, you know, do whatever. I'll just give in to the fear or the worry or whatever. But this verse, you can stand on it. It says, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised him to them that love him. Let no man say he is tempted. Let no man say he is tempted. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away with his own lust and enticed. So, that goes back to seeking first the kingdom. If when you wake up every morning, if the first thing you're doing is seeking God, you're not going to be tempted. There's a verse somewhere that I know that I wrote down about that. So, but it is, the Bible does say, there's a scripture that says that to trust in the God and that if you stand on Him and stand on His Word and seek Him, that you don't have to worry about the temptations. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath. That is wisdom right there. A lot of times you assume that you know what someone's thinking. This has to do with trust, when trusting God. To be slow to anger, and actually in this day of technology, it's funny, you'll receive a text or an email and you're not hearing the person, so you have no idea their emotion or, you know, if they're happy or sad or mad. Somebody posted something on Facebook the other day and I didn't know whether they were being serious or whether they were being snarky. And so I just said, regardless of your answer, I said, you know, I love you and you're a blessing. So, and they never did say anything else, so I assumed they were being snarky. So, so you always be slow to anger. You don't assume that you know what someone's thoughts are or what God has for you. Just, you know, work it out. It says in the Bible to work it out in fear and trembling. So just when you're in God's presence, you don't have to worry about, you know, whether or not you're going to do that. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. I think I skipped a verse. Oh, there we go. Skipped several verses. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engraved word which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. The Bible is so vast. I mean, it's like you could open it up and you go, how could I know all of God? And how could I know everything that He wants for you? But really, I mean, Jesus boiled it down into something real simple. It's love God and love your neighbor. So, I mean, it really boils down to that. And you say, how can I love my neighbor? If God has filled you up, the Bible says, you know, He's going to fill you up and your cup is going to overflow. It's going to be overrunning. So if you have more than enough, it's easy to love your neighbor. But I will say this, if you're at a point in your life when you feel you're not full, you need to make sure that you're full first, because if you're not full, you can't love your neighbor. There was a song that we learned in Baptist school. It said, Jesus and others in you. It's a great way to spell joy. That's terrible, because if first you love Jesus, but if you don't love yourself second, you can't love others third. So it should be Jesus and you and others. Because if you yourself are not blessed, if you bless others, you're just going to be angry and, you know, mad, and you're going to be like, God, why am I blessing this person if I'm, you know, totally unblessed? But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For beholding himself, he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. God created us in His image. It's amazing, because this is random, but people, you know, say, you know, are there aliens and are there beings in outer space? I don't know. It doesn't say it in the Bible, so whether it is or not, I don't know. God created us in His image because He wanted a being that could love Him, not because He had to. You know, the angels, He created the angels, and the angels they have to do what God says. But God created us to have our own will and our own, you know, life. And we could say either, God, I hate you and I don't want anything to do with you, or God, I surrender everything to you. And that way, He can have a relationship with us. You can't have a relationship if you have no will. It's just, you know, here's the Creator and the created has to do what the Creator says. The animals have to do what God said. You know, the turtle has to be a turtle, and a rabbit has to be a rabbit, and they don't get to be, you know, a rabbit doesn't get to be a horse. But God created us so that we could have that relationship with Him, and His desire is just that we relax and see heaven on earth and just are at peace and have joy all the time without, you know, being burdened by this world. Because Satan is running this world and he is always trying to trip us up. And it's fun just to laugh at him, to laugh at Satan. You guys ever laugh at Satan? It's really fun. So, because you can just tell him, hey, you lose regardless. So, you know, there's no worries. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, so not the law of sin and death. Do you guys know the difference between the law of liberty and the law of sin and death? The law of sin and death says, if you sin, you die. The law of liberty says, hey, I came for you that you might live forever. So you just trust in me. And, you know, so he's talking about the law of liberty. And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work. And this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now, again, it seems like in this verse that it's a work because it says being a doer. But you got to remember back in that scripture where it says that God is going to complete that work in you. So even though it says be a doer, it's saying be a doer in my own strength. Don't be a doer in your own strength, because we don't have the strength to do it. We can't be perfect. I mean, that was the whole point of the law of sin and death, was to show us that we can't be perfect and to drive us to Jesus. So it's awesome. That right there is total relaxation, to know that God is going to complete everything in me and that I don't have to worry about fixing my sins, because, you know, we all sin and we all have lots of sin, and you think, how am I ever going to get rid of that? And you go, I don't have to worry about it. God said He would get rid of that. I don't have to. And it is. It's true. It's funny. As I get older and I'll see sins and I go, that sin doesn't have a hold of me anymore. I don't have to worry about that sin. It doesn't mean you're never going to do it again. It just means that, you know, it's no longer controlling you, or, you know, there's a difference between having a controlling sin and just a sin. So God will take care of those daily. And it's great. You just give it to Him. Say, God, I saw that. Thanks for taking care of that. You can just thank Him. You don't even have to say, will you take care of that? You say, thanks for taking care of it, because He will. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the widows, in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted before the world. So our charge is to be salt and light. But to be salt and light, we're just a mirror of God. So when you go out and you are in the world, you don't necessarily have to beat people over the head with the Bible. You can just be salt and light, and they will want to know, why are you happy all the time? Why are you so at peace even though all these things have happened to you? I've seen everything that's happened to you, and yet you have untold joy. And it's because God gave us a promise. He has so many promises in the Bible. You know, He will never leave you or forsake you. The work that I start in you, I will complete in you. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. My God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. Count it all joy. I guess my desire is that everyone should be, when my dad says he is happy all the time, I'm that same way. I'm happy all the time. And I would love for everyone that I come in contact with to know that, to just be happy without any worry of bills or whatever, because it's all there. I mean, we all live in life, and we all have the same worries and cares. But God, when you open His Word, He'll always give you let me say this, whatever answer you're looking for is anywhere in the Bible. You know, if you think, I need a specific scripture for a specific answer, they all say the same thing. They all say, I love you, I want to bless you, trust me, be at peace. When I picked James 1, I could have picked any chapter, and they all say the exact same thing. Let's see, there was one I was going to... Oh, yeah. I wanted to turn to Matthew 7. You probably won't ever see Dad with one of these. Matthew 7, 7 and 8. Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So right there, that's one of my favorite, because actually they're all my favorites. Except for the book of Numbers. That one's really hard to get into. So I was listening to the Bible on CD. My older sister gave it to me a couple years ago, and it was funny. I had never heard this before, and I know I probably read it, but there was a thing where Elisha, the guy that came after Elijah, he died, and they stuck him in the ground. And there was a man that died, and they had to get rid of his body real quick. I think it was Sabbath or something. So they stuck his body in the grave of Elisha. And when his body touched the bones of Elisha, he came back to life. And I thought, wow, I want to have that kind of righteousness living inside of me, which I do. I mean, God says, you know, we're all righteous. That when somebody touches my old dead bones, they come back to life. You know, I mean, that's awesome. I was at a conference this weekend, and it was interesting. There's a guy, I don't even remember his name anymore, but he was talking about your legacy isn't what you do when you're alive, but what happens when you die. Does it keep going? How many, you know, do you have people that you've taught? Do you have disciples? And he said that Jesus is the greatest example of that. When he died, his legacy grew and grew and grew and grew. And so he has the greatest legacy of anybody. Miles Monroe, that's who it was. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of that guy, but it was neat. Because another thing he had said was, they asked him if there's anything in your life that you ever regret. And he said, I don't regret anything. He goes, everything bad that happened to me and everything good that happened to me made me who I am today. And that's exactly, I mean, that totally leads into this, is we don't understand what God is doing in our lives, but if we just trust what God is doing in our lives, it makes you who you are. Amy Carmichael, she was a missionary, and she wanted blue eyes her entire life. And she prayed, God, I want blue eyes. Well, she went to India, and if she had had blue eyes, she could not have passed off as an Indian. She wouldn't have been able to be a missionary in India. She had brown eyes, and she was able to make herself look Indian. So we don't know what God's plan is for our life. We don't know 20 years down the road, 2 years down the road. I just... Sorry, this is really short. That's my sermon for today. My dad is in Israel right now. He told us not to tell anybody, but then he told everybody, so I guess... David Dewhurst asked him to go with him, because he's talking with... they're talking with the security over there in Israel. He may get to meet with Netanyahu. And he was pretty excited when I met him a couple hours before he left, and he had already had a whole spiel of what he was going to say to Netanyahu to change the world. And so that's my goal, is to set the world on fire for God.